Ich habe Recording
Großartig, danke sehr.
angefangen.
Gut. Ja, dann werde ich beginnen. Ja. Ja, sehr geehrter Herr Professor Dugin, zunächst einmal vielen Dank, dass Sie bereit sind zu diesem Interview. Die Strategie des sogenannten Great Reset wird zurzeit von den globalistischen Eliten diskutiert. Dieser fordert einen Neustart des Kapitalismus und des postliberalen Systems nach dem Scheitern in der Corona-Krise. Und dazu soll der Kapitalismus im Sinne der Klimabewegung nachhaltiger gemacht werden, um die offene Gesellschaft am Leben zu erhalten, aber gleichzeitig eben auch repressiver. Er will das Leben der Menschen stärker kontrollieren, stärker überwachen. Und angesichts dieser wirklich nachhaltigen Veränderungen, die jetzt vor allem in den westlichen Gesellschaften auftreten, möchte ich Sie natürlich fragen, was denken Sie über dieses neue Projekt zur Rettung der Globalisierung?
I think that is precisely not the new strategy, but that is new turn in the globalist the history of globalization and globalism. It's very interesting concept, reset. It is as a content, the content is the same as was the New World Order, globalization, one world, end of history, promoting of ultra-liberal values, and the content of the Great Reset differs not too much from the main process of globalization. But we need to understand that globalization is not just technological or geopolitical political process. That is as well ideological process that unites different levels. For example, that means that every country, every society is transformed into the West. It's very important. So Westernization was a great part of this globalization because that is projection of the Western values and Western society on all the humanity. So the West is taken in the globalization as the example. Second level or layer of the globalization. It is a projection of the modernization with Westernization. Modernization, that means that is a more and more updated version of the Western values. It's not the same Western values as they were yesterday or the day before yesterday. It is ongoing process of some special transformation and change of the Western values and Western paradigms. And that is important because it is not just to project the West on the rest. It is double process to update the West itself and project an updated version. That is the kind of postmodern combination of the Western and modern. So modernization should be applied not only for the non-Western societies, but as well, modernization is domestic process inside of the West. That is second point of globalization. So globalization is as well modernization. The next level, that should be an ideological shift inside of liberal globalization, because liberalism as well as process, it is not just belief or faith in something stable, eternal. That is idea to liberate individual from all forms of collective identity. And that is historical process. It started with the liberation from the Catholic Church. After that, that was liberation from estates and belonging to some strata of the society of Middle Ages. And mm-hmm. after that, it was liberation from national state and from all kind of artificial collective identity as class or race in 20th century. And finally, to, after the end of the Nazism and communism, that was the next stage, liberation of the of individual from gender collective identity. That was mark of the transition to new version of liberalism. So gender politics is essential. It's not just just secondary, or it is something essentially embedded in this logic of development of liberalism. So globalism, because naturally and essentially associated with the gender politics. That's extremely important. That is the part of this modernization of the liberal society itself. And the next point is the exchange of the human collective identity by the post-human collective identity. That is the political agenda for tomorrow. That starts today. So that is the main logic of globalization. That is not just opening of the borders. That is the very, very important and profound multi-layer process, globalization. But what is the new aspect, a new feature of the Great Reset? It consists in the fact that the previous stages has created the oppositions of different kind. There's the opposition from the on the side of the non-Western society, or not too much is Western society, not too much modernized society, as Russia and China. Non-West and some aspect of conservative traditional feature of this of these societies reacted against globalization. And defense of sovereignties in the case of nuclear power, great power Russia, and big economical power China have created the obstacles to this process. At the same time, there appeared civilizations. They try to react against imposition of liberal values and modernist and postmodernist values. So that was organical, natural reaction of civilization against this ideological agenda. And at the same time, there were some economical failure and errors and defeats in the strategy, in the geopolitics, in the creation of the Greater Middle East project or promotion of the color revolution in the Arab world that didn't give the results the globalists expected. So that was the kind of suit, the chain of the failures, after failures after failures after failures, and the last failure was the seal of all the failures was the coming of Trump. So that was the will of American society that rejected as well this agenda. For example, they have expressed their will to stay with the yesterday version of liberalism, of democracy, or present version. They rejected this process of ongoing modernization and update. So that was the kind of challenge from within, not from Putin, not from neither from Russia nor for a wave of populism in Europe, but that was the kind of split in American society. So, there are that have put globalists in very special position. They try to promote their agenda basing on this line of liberation of the individuals from any kind of collective identity. So they want still to project westernization. They want still to accomplish more and more modernization and coming to destruction, final destruction of any kind of collective identity inside of the West as well. But they have encountered so many obstacles that they could not proceed in normal way. So that is a kind of emergency call. That is an emergency situation that came because there was accumulation of the alternative powers, factors of different layers, civilization, sovereignty, ideological, cultural, geopolitical, economical, and as well political elements that have created a kind of front represented by Trump, Putin, growing Islam, Iran, China in economical way, Belt and Road Initiative, the wave of populism in Europe, a kind of split of the NATO, independent sovereignist and nationalist politics of Erdogan, everything went out of the control, everything. And there was the kind of growth of all the obstacles on the road to this globalization. So that was a kind of disaster, the catastrophe. Last two decades, starting from 2000, that was the ending unipolar moment. So that was the growing defeat. Globalists lost their positions everywhere, in every camp. And the final blow was made by Trump. So American people joined this global battle against their agenda. So they now, they're in a critical position, globalists. And when they say, when they speak about reset, that means the drastic and violent return to a continuation of their agenda. Agenda is the same, but now it is not as it seemed to be, as some natural process of development, of the progress. So everything was almost granted 20 years ago, and now you should fight for any element of this strategy, for any element, because you encounter in any place a kind of growing resistance. So they could not implement anymore, the globalists could not implement anymore their strategy with the same means and the same methods and tools. And that means three words, BBB, Build Back Better. BBB, that is the kind of slogan, that is the kind of key word. So build back, that's return to pre anti-globalist moment, return to the 90s.
I see, yeah.
And better. So that is the kind of war cry, in order to mobilize all the globalist forces, in order to give the last battle against all the fronts and try to mobilize their powers in order to finally break through in all the fronts. So defeat Trump, first goal, destroy Putin, kill Xi Jinping, change the government in Iran, kill or poison Erdogan, destroy and discredit finally all kind of European populism. So finish with Islamic resistance. So destroy all anti globalist tendencies in Latin America. So not by the peaceful way or a kind of software way, but attacking in the with totalitarian means. So reset as the concept has the content that is the same, but that as well presupposes implicitly totally new tools to do that. And I think the tools now are clearly totalitarian. So they try to impose censorship, they try to impose political pressure, concrete political policy measure against all who are on the other side. So the Great Reset is the continuation, a kind of disparate continuation of the failed globalist strategy against all this accumulation of obstacles. They could not accept their failure, and they try. That is a kind of agony, but yeah. It is wounded dragon that could kill, that wounded dragon. The dragon is going to die, but he's still alive. And BBB, Build Back Better, that is the last cry, desperate cry of the dragon. Kill all the enemies of open society. Enemies of open society should be killed, murdered, should be tortured. So if they win with democratic process, we should abolish democracy, roars this wood dragon, destroy everything that is the obstacle. If we need to destroy humanity, let us destroy them. If we need to put the poison in the vaccines, let's do it. So that is the kind of eschatological fight, moment, last battle of globalization. And now we see that they use in the Great Reset all the means unthinkable in the previous stage. That is more or less how I interpret the Great Reset. It is nothing new. That is the same agenda of globalization, but the same ideology, the same values, the same process, but with totally new means. So that is now clearly and openly totalitarian. Censorship, political repression, killing, fighting, demonization of the enemy, declaration of all who are against it as fascists, as maniacs, as terrorists, and dealing with them precisely in that way. First of all, they claim their enemies, all their enemies are fascists, and after they begin to kill them because they are fascists. Mm-hmm. Nobody investigate anything. So that is just Bolshevism. It is just like in Bolshevik Revolution or in the French Revolution. So everybody who is declared to be enemy of the revolution should be exterminated. So that is extermination. And we see in United States of America, first step of this Great Reset. The globalists have lost the election. Let's destroy destroy elections, destroy all the protesters. Let consider the some millions of people protesting as a small mob of the crazy maniac and terrorist and fascist. Mm-hmm. So they just destroy all kind of reality check. No more reality check. Welcome to the totalitarianism of Great Reset.
Da haben Sie jetzt einen sehr guten Punkt angesprochen in Bezug auf die jüngsten Ereignisse in den USA mit dem Zwischenfall am Kapitol. Sie haben in dem Zusammenhang ja eben von einem Great Awakening gesprochen, von einem großen Aufwachen als Gegensatz oder Gegenpol zu diesem Great Reset, als andere Möglichkeit, quasi die Geschichte fortzuführen. Und Sie haben weiters eine eigene Videoreihe während des ersten Lockdowns sogar noch produziert, mit dem Titel Thoughts During the Plague, also Gedanken während der Seuche. Und da wäre es natürlich sehr interessant, wie stellen Sie sich vor, dass eine andere Welt, eine bessere Welt nach dem Ende dieser Pandemie aussehen könnte, auf der einen Seite? Und was genau meinen Sie mit diesem Begriff des Great Awakening?
So I think Great Awakening, that was a term that was used spontaneously by American protesters, so with Alex Jones, with all the others. So that was the kind of the concept that is born recently, precisely as a kind of growth of the consciousness of American people about the really demonic nature of the globalists. So that is, first of all, concerns, first of all, American people that was under illusion that that is everything is going was going more or less good in the United States. There were obstacles, the Democrats and Republicans. They represented two wings of the same liberal democracy. And great awakening for them was a discovery that behind the mask of the Democrat Party was hidden something totally different. That was a kind of globalist coup d'etat, a kind of maniac, terrorist. They are ready to apply to, all kind of totalitarian measures against American people. So they, that was inconceivable, that was impossible, that was unthinkable before. And starting with Trump during all these 4 years of his presidency, and now the a kind of accumulation of all that and the fraud of the election, that is stolen the elections, that is the clear picture of what is Great Awakening. Awakening is the kind of understanding and the dawn of understanding of real nature of reset of the globalists. And American people was hidden, was occultated inside of American system, and now there is two completely different thing: American population, or Trumpists, or normal Americans, and globalist American, and that is precisely the line that goes exactly between Great Reset and Great Awakening. But what is important? So, being used first of all by American patriots on the wave of the protests, growing protests in the United States, we could compare the universal meaning of Great Reset with possible universal meaning of Great Awakening, because the Great Reset is the summary of many civilizational tendencies that were prepared during the centuries. It is not just the evil will of some small group of idiots. No, that is a kind of accumulation of negative results and stages of the modernity. So that is alienation of the human nature, creation of technical tools that become little step by step the masters and not the tools. So when the tool becomes master, it is that change everything. That is singularity moment. And this alienation and the loss of the human identity, step by step, starting with the destruction of the religious identity, was this ongoing nominalism that that pretend to destroy all kind of collective identity. Now it is approaching the moment of the loss of the human identity. So there is human is optional and prohibited. So tomorrow to be human will mean the same to be Trumpist or fascist or Putinist and so on. That is the very serious process, and that is the Great Reset. It is accumulation of that is the content of Great Reset. And Great Awakening should be as universal as Great Reset is. It should not be just the reaction of American people finally understanding the counter-natural identity of the ruling Democrats, the democratic elites in their country, globalists, that is already fact. But if the concept of Great Reset is so rich with the meaning, if it is inscribed in what is called Seins Geschichte by Heidegger, and the destiny of the history, the ontological aspect of history, so Great Awakening should be alternative. But in order to be real alternative, it should be at least at the same level, not on the more superficial, habitual, more everyday life rejection of this tendency. So we are attacked by something that is with globalization and globalism, with something that is very, very deep metaphysically. It is technical, it is liberal, it is modern and postmodern. There is the philosophy behind the globalists. And in order to fight with this philosophy fulfilled, almost fulfilled on the global scale, but experiencing more and more the problem and failure, so we need to capitalize the alternative. And we need to put all together, all elements that led to create, to appear to these obstacles. For example, we need to revise relations with West against the East, so or with West against the rest. And we need to consolidate the rest from Asia to Europe against this domination of the unique West. So it will be the shift from the unipolarity toward multipolarity. And the West itself should find its place, its logical place inside of multipolar structure. So we need to destroy this Eurocentric, Western-centric attitude. So we need accept plurality of civilizations in order to and that will be one of main feature of Great Awakening, but not it is not all. Secondly, we need to revise geopolitics. We need to create, elaborate multipolar geopolitics, not only Western sea power against Eastern land power, but we need to identify sea power and land power as well in the West. United States of America is clear example of this new geopolitics. When there is the heartland or land power represented by red states and by Republicans, Trumpists, and there are coastal lines, coastal zones that represent sea power. So that is the complete change of geopolitical vision. More than that, we need not only to fight against gender politics or dehumanization, post-humanism or post-modernism. We need to revise, we return to what we have lost at the beginning of the modernity. We need to reappropriate philosophical treasure of those authors and philosophers and metaphysicians and the schools of thought that we have abandoned entering modernity. So I think that is as well the feature of Great Awakening: return to the Plato, return to the antiquity, return to Middle Ages, return to Aristotle, and return to Christianity, return to traditional religions, all traditional religions. That is traditionalism. So Great Awakening is should be as well understanding on of what we lost with modernity. So it should be not just continuation of modernity or post-modernity, that we should be revision of the modernity, critical revision from the left, from the right. That's no important. We need to revise, accomplish revision of the modernity itself. So Great Awakening is the kind of metaphysical and philosophical program, the manifesto that deals with great reset as the absolute evil. So it is kind of crystallization of opposite value. It is not just defense of Republicans against Democrats in the United States. It's much more, it's much deeper concept. And I think that we are challenged now to create the common global planetarian front of Great Awakening, where American protesters will be one wing, European populist will be the other wing, Russia in general will be third. That will be as angelic entity with many wings: Chinese wing, Islamic wing, Pakistani wing, Shia wing, African, Latin America. So that we need to organize this Great Awakening, not basing on only one dogma. We should accept different identities, and we need to find for them the place in this this eschatology of great awakening. So we find in Christian tradition, we find some special figures for that. The second return of the Christ or apocalyptic fight against Antichrist. The same in Shia tradition Islam, the same the tradition in Sunni Islam. There is in Indian tradition Kali Yuga, Kali Yuga narrative about the end of Kali Yuga and the fight of 10th Avatara against the demon of the time, of perverted time. So we need in other tradition, other understanding and figures and images of this great awakening. And everything coincides now. So it should not be just political or economical rejection of reset. So we need to understand reset as the biggest challenge. It is reset is the kind of the chariot, conceptual chariot of Antichrist. And in order to fight against the chariot of Antichrist, we need to have spiritual weapon, not only technical. So spiritual, technical as well, material as well, but first of all, spiritual. And I think the great awakening should be awakening of the spirit, awakening of the thought, awakening of the culture, awakening of our almost lost root of our own European or Asian or Eurasian or Islamic tradition. So I understand a great awakening that is just began as the process of formation or creation or manifestation of this new spiritual understanding of future, of history and of present in order, and of future as well, in order to organize the radical criticism against all the modernity, Western centrism, technological process, and revise the concept of time.
Mhm. Genau, und Sie haben jetzt in den vorigen zwei Fragen schon eine wichtige Sache angesprochen, nämlich einerseits den Transhumanismus als Teil dieses globalistischen Projekts und des Great Reset. Und Sie haben ja auch in letzter Zeit sehr viel über die objektorientierte Philosophie, etwa bei Reza Negarastani, geschrieben. Und da ist es natürlich interessant zu wissen, worin besteht die große Gefahr in dieser Philosophie, in dieser neuen Strömung. Sie haben ja vorher schon gesagt, das könnte das Ende oder das wird das Ende des Menschseins an sich bedeuten. Was genau, worin genau liegt die Gefahr in dieser philosophischen Strömung?
Ich glaube, dass object-oriented ontology ist rather disclosement. It is a disclosure. It is kind of manifestation of the real goal of the modernity. It is a kind of final terminal point. So when before the modernity acted, operated in the name of the man, of the human, of a human being, and with objects-oriented ontology, we arrive at the point of the reality, of the real goal of the modernity. That was not liberation of the humanity, that was the annihilation of the reality, that was destruction of the man, that was the death of the man, because after the death of the God followed logically the death of the man. And that was the hidden agenda that now is open, that is evident in objects-oriented ontology. So Reza Negaristani, Nick Land, and other, and Mia Su and Harman, they invite us to quit, to leave the humanity, to get to the things themselves, to the object, without the subject. So that is the kind of a real agenda of materialism. So materialism was inspired by this objects-oriented ontology that appeared at the end of materialism, not at the beginning. So that is the kind of logical consequence that they could receive earlier, but the things are as they are, and in the history of the science, of history of philosophy, objects-oriented ontology came last. So, and that is precisely invitation, as Nick Land puts it, to destroy totally humanity and life of the earth. Before, it was just black caricature of traditionalists against the progressists, because progressists always affirmed, oh, we are fighting for to liberate humanity, we are for the life on the earth, we are for the human being, we defend their freedom. And now appear the group of more progressive, more modernized, more futurist thinkers. Mm-hmm. They say, oh, no, not at all. The human is fascism. To be human is to impose the projects on the object. So we need to liberate objects from the subject, from humanity. And what is more interesting, exploring the things as they are without man, without being a tool of man, without being zuhanden, mm-hmm. Heideggerian terminology, they have arrived that on the other side of the object, where supposedly should be a kind of void of, mm-hmm. of nothing, they are discovering another subject. They call that the God's idiots, of Lovecraft, or the mm-hmm. old ones, the figures that that are behind, beyond the objects, but inside of them. So the mm-hmm. objects liberated from human subjectiveness, mm-hmm. Liberated from the humanity, they as well, they open their hidden dimension, that is real devil. So mm-hmm. that is object-oriented philosophy, ontology is a kind of premonition or foreseeing of the advancement of the philosophical devil. So mm-hmm. philosophical devil is here on the other side of the objects, and he appears little by little inside of academy, inside of gender-oriented studies. And that is the next step after analytical philosophy. That has prepared the terrain, prepared the territory for this non-human way of thought. That is the artificial intelligence could exist without human and without the life on the earth. So with object-oriented ontology, we are dealing with the real truth. It is not mm-hmm. a lie. It is for the first time, modernity has said the truth about itself. What was before, that was a lie of modernity. The modernity lied to everybody. Oh, we are in favor of human, we are in favor of life. We try to liberate human beings and nature from the transcendental fascist God, patriarchal God. But that was a lie. That was not in favor of the human. That was against the human and God. The main idea was liberate devil from the chains with which he was fixed in the hell. That is liberation of the devil, not of the man. And now comes the moment to liberate devil from the humanity, from the life. And that is object-oriented ontology that clearly, openly, explicitly affirmed that. So, and they are object-oriented philosophers, they are closer to us, traditionalists, because we always, always saw in the modernity this devilish, demonic aspect. So for traditionalists, modernity was neutral, was not neutral. Modernity already from very beginning was the satanic creation, and that is the main traditional line. And now there appear among the most progressive and progressist philosophers those who say the same, who say but in favor of the Satan. So the real Satanism, it is not Aleister Crowley or Black Masses or Chandra LaVey. That is the modern science. The real black magic is modern science and model culture. Modern civilization is the kind of preparation for advent of the Antichrist. And Islamic tradition identifies it as Dajjal. Christian see that as Antichrist, but that inside, and I think that this this appeal to Lovecraft, to black magic, and to extermination of the humankind and the nature and the Nicland is disclosure of the real nature of the science and modernity as well. And that is why it serves to great awakening. So they are object-oriented ontology is the other sign of great awakening. When our consciousness is awakened to the fact what the progressism is in the reality, so that mobilizes our spiritual power, that wakes our inner spiritual, the rest of our human dignity, and that is the real fight. But it's much better to deal with the people who say the truth about their negative purposes and principles than with liars. So inside of the lie, they appear the most radical truths about lies. So I consider them, I could not blame that. I hate much more analytical philosophy, positivism, or natural science of Newton or Galilei. That was pure lie, a pure calamity against that was lie about the real laws of nature and of humanity. Or for example, I hate Biden and Kamala Harris, but I could not hate Rezani Geristani or Nick Land or Harman, Graham Harman, who are the real and conscious Satanists. So better to deal with the reality as it is than with all this lie. If, for example, a progressist in the United States would declare that they serve to the Satan, and the Satan exists, the Satan is on the return, the Satan should be liberated, it's much easier to us to deal with them. So I prefer always truth, including when the truth is very dark and very terrible, I prefer always the truth than the comforting lie that try to calm down all our thoughts. So the evil helps to awaken, because it is terrible, really terrible. And I think that what Americans now experience with Biden and Kamala Harris and Democrats is as well the horror, and more horror the better, I think.
Genau, das bringt uns dann auch schon zum Thema der letzten von Ihnen organisierten Konferenz an, Wozu Philosophen in dürftiger Zeit? Dort haben Sie das Konzept des radikalen Selbst, des Nous Poetikos, näher vorgestellt, wie es eben von Aristoteles formuliert wurde und dann eben auch von Johannes Tauler dann weiterentwickelt wurde. Bitte erläutern Sie unseren Lesern in diesem Zusammenhang das Konzept des radikalen Selbst kurz.
It is most important point, because and the radicalization of the Great Reset against Great Awakening, the concept of the subject is in the center of the battle, because conservative try to save the subject, to save the human subject. And the progressists now tries openly, explicitly destroy it in favor of post-human, non-human, artificial intelligence, technological, cyberspace, and cyber ontology. So that is the problem of subject is in the center. There is the partisans of the radical object. In order to not, they are not satisfied anymore to interpret the human as having body and something else, some subjectivity. They try to regard and this the man as the machine. So that is why they try to decipher genome, to improve cell structure, and they treat human as the machine. So that is the modern medicine, modern vaccines, modern technology, and so on. That is the main point. So human is the kind of machine, and being kind of machine, it is not perfect machine. So the human is here only in order to build better machine than himself. So, and that is the rejection of the subject, of the last rests of the subject, open and object-oriented ontology, and not so clearly defined, but the same and the more general propaganda of progressism. But that is the same. And main point of this conference, what so philosopher and Würzbegger said, and above all, the main point with radical self, radical self, is precisely idea that we could not defend and save subject if we accept the manner it was understood and presented during modern philosophy. So that was already mutilated subject. That was insufficient subject, the subject without its root, cut from its root. Mm-hmm. And in order to save secondary, peripheric subject, we need to restore this subject, return it to the roots. And that what was not inside, but more inside that inner world. Mm-hmm. It is a kind of inner transcendence that we should arrive in order to save subject that is on the edge to be destroyed and abandoned completely. So that is a very important thing that we have forgotten. One of the segments of this way inside of ourselves, we consider to be inner, what is not inmost, that is not intimus in Latin. So, and we consider our intellect as something that Aristotle called passive intellect. And we have forgotten active and intellect. That started from the Middle Ages, from the scholastical tradition. And my idea was return or restore the importance of this radical subject, of this radikale selbst, restore its importance, that is active and intellect, in order to give the radical fight against all those who challenge all kind of subjects. So in my opinion, we could not defend, say, and save non-radical subjects that is still here without restoration of the radical subject that has gone for many centuries ago from the field of philosophy. So rediscovery of active intelligence inside of our souls, inside of our heart, is much or less the same as a rediscovery or creating or manifestation of the absolute spirit, absolute Geist in Hegel, in Schelling. It is as well, or Fichte is the absolute Ich. Ich glaube, I think that that is the way to decipher a new a German classical philosophy that was as well perverted with left Hegelianism by Marxism or by some other application of it. So we need to rediscover the dignity of the philosophy as such, with Heidegger first of all, but as well with German philosophy. We should rediscover Aristotle using phenomenological methods, and we need to revise the modernity in philosophy as the stages of the loss of this radical subject definiteness, radical subject, starting from abandoning of this instance of imago in St. Augustine, of Dietrich von Freiberg, and the philosophers as Meister Eckhart, Tauler, or von Suso, and as well Paracelsus and Jakob Böhme. They, all of them, had clear understanding and experience of this radical self. And I think that is not just one special tendency, that special branch of philosophy. It is not something arbitrary. It is the central, it is inevitable, it is the main problem. So the main problem of to save the humanity is to save radical subject that was many hundreds of years forgotten or marginalized in the philosophy. Only with this rehabilitation of active intellect, we could be prepared to give the final battle to object-oriented ontology and progressism. So the main weapon, theoretical weapon of the Trumpists in their Great Awakening should be philosophy, German philosophy, Greek philosophy, traditional Western philosophy. They are fighting for the West. They are fighting for the Indo-European culture. They should know it. They should know the principles of it. Otherwise, their fight is lost from the very beginning. So I think that without this layer of radical subject, we could not dream about the victory. We could not dream about the fight itself, because it is already the all fight that is cut from the real root of a human being that is hidden deep inside of our soul. It is lost from the very beginning.
Ja, Herr Professor, ich sage Ihnen vielen herzlichen Dank für das Interview. Ich werde jetzt dann, sobald ich dann natürlich auch von Ihnen dann den Mitschnitt habe, werde ich schauen, dass ich das Ganze transkribiere. Wir haben jetzt dann doch fast eine ganze Stunde gesprochen. Dementsprechend werde ich auf jeden Fall schauen, dass der größte Teil von dem Interview, ich muss noch schauen, wie viel Zeichen das Ganze dann umfassen wird. Ich denke aber, das wird dann über die 12.500 Zeichen etwas hinausgehen, die ich zur Verfügung habe. Ich werde auf jeden Fall schauen, dass das Wichtigste aus diesem Interview in der Druckform veröffentlicht wird, in der kommenden Ausgabe der Deutschen Stimme, die jetzt dann Ende Jänner erscheinen wird. Wenn es natürlich quasi den Umfang etwas sprengt, dann werde ich auf jeden Fall anregen, dass dann quasi die komplette Fassung des Interviews dann auch zusätzlich im Internet veröffentlicht werden wird, damit man das dann auch quasi dann nachlesen kann.
Und ich glaube, dass Sie können auch Ihre Frage ins Englisch übersetzen.
Ja.
Und auch diese
auf Englisch veröffentlichen, ja.
Auch publizieren auf Internet.
Genau, auf jeden Fall. Das wäre dann eben dann der nächste Schritt dann dahingehend. Ja, dann sage ich vielen herzlichen Dank für das Interview. Ich habe es wirklich auch persönlich sehr interessant gefunden, weil ich da eben die letzten Texte von Ihnen natürlich auf Englisch eben verfolgt habe und auch die Konferenz sehr interessant fand. Nur natürlich jetzt quasi jetzt noch in dieser komprimierten Form ist es natürlich eben umso interessanter, weil man dann weiß, gut, was hat man da jetzt eben vielleicht am ersten Blick eben versäumt oder nicht ganz genau mitbekommen. Dementsprechend sage ich auch in der Hinsicht dann vielen Dank für das Interview. Und ja, schicken Sie mir dann bitte Ihren Mitschnitt dann werde ich das Ganze übersetzen. Danke. Ja, dann wünsche ich Ihnen noch einen schönen Abend und auf Wiedersehen.
Auf Wiedersehen.